Scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 through 31. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. This happened just after Jesus fed the 5,000. You remember that incredible miracle, the feeding of the 5,000? So after that happened, this is what took place. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Some things are just plain hard. Calculus. Algebra story problems. Geometry proofs. You know, we can lump a lot of things together under the heading of math. Sometimes math is just hard. Crossword puzzles. Sudoku, giving up chocolate for Lent, replicating grandma's secret recipe, quitting smoking, talking to your kids about serious things like sex or drugs or alcohol. Some things are just hard. Having to put down your dog. Maybe having to bury a family member. The hardest things for me is waiting in line. Doesn't matter where it is or what I'm doing. Waiting in line is hard for me. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1's pretty easy, 10's really hard, where would you rank walking on water? How hard is that? Peter gets out of the boat in the middle of the lake, and he walks on top of the water. He doesn't get too flustered, at least right away. I mean, nobody's ever done this before. I mean, this is hard, right? He stumbles a bit, sees the wind blowing, the storm maybe around, just kind of gets nervous. And he starts to sink, and he needed Jesus to help him. So he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus, of course, grabbed Peter, didn't let him drown, didn't let him go underwater. Peter is hardly wet, and Jesus says to him, "O ye of little faith." What? Peter got out of the boat in the middle of the lake, and he walked on water. How hard is that? And yet Jesus says, "Where's your faith?" Wait, is faith harder than walking on water? What's Jesus trying to say? I mean, that's like telling Tom Brady, "You ought to get back in the game. You know, if you come out of retirement and keep at it, maybe someday you'll be a good quarterback." Peter just walked on the water, and the first thing Jesus tells him is, oh, you have such little faith. This faith thing must be really hard. I think it is. Jesus once told the disciples, if you have faith as little even as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and the mountain will move. Why aren't more mountains moving? Why aren't more people walking on water? I think it's because this faith thing is pretty hard. Believing is easy, okay? Believing is easy. The other 11 disciples stayed in the boat, and when Peter and Jesus climbed back in the boat, they worshiped Jesus. You are the Son of God. That's the next verse after what we where we drew the line and finished there in verse 31. Verse 32 is the disciples said, you are the Son of God. They worshiped him. Well, that was easy, staying in the boat, believing he is the Son of God. Peter did the hard thing. He climbed out of the boat, walked on the water. You see, it's easy to believe. It's hard to have faith. Having faith means we put into action what we believe. They're different. If you take away anything from this morning, and I know, you know, we're just getting started in the sermon. It's only about 5 minutes long, so you're all still awake. You know, 10 more minutes from now, you might not be in the same condition, but take this away this morning. Believing and faith are not the same thing. Believing is different from having faith. I believe that this floor is very strong. Don, don't you? Don't you believe this floor is real strong? Everybody standing here, sitting here, walking up in front, step on that step, step up on that step. We'd all do it because we have faith. We believe it's strong, but we'd walk up and step on it because we have faith that it'll hold us. I could jump up and down because not only do I believe it's strong, but I have faith that it'll hold me. The two are different. You might believe that this is strong, this platform, but if you never walk up here because you're a little afraid that maybe it won't hold you, then how strong is your faith? Believing is not the same thing as having faith. The two are different. One is about accepting the truth. That's what believing is. The other is about applying that truth to who we are and how we live. Here's the truth. John 3:16, probably the most famous truth in all the scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the truth, and that's easy to believe because God wants to make it that way. He wants to make us accepting his truth as simple as possible. He wants to put that threshold really low when it comes to accepting the truth about him and his love for us. But then applying that truth to our life, committing our whole being to that truth, that's harder. Trusting our eternal destiny to that truth, that's harder. Aligning everything that we do, everything that we say, all of our relationships, aligning all of that to that truth that God so loved the world, that whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. If we align all that we say and do and our relationships with others to that truth, that's harder. It's hard to persevere and stay faithful. It's hard to repent and to change. It's hard to surrender and obey. It's hard to make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. It's hard to suffer for righteousness. It's hard to be holy. It's hard to believe the unbelievable. Sometimes there's just questions that we have that aren't going to be answered in this lifetime, and that's hard. And so this summer, we're going to take a close look at this hard faith. And what is it about it that makes it hard? And if there's some obstacles to our faith because it's hard, then what ways does God help us overcome those obstacles to help us live out what we believe? The scripture, God shows us a pattern that helps us identify what makes this thing called faith hard and what it takes to overcome those obstacles in our life. And that pattern shows up in what happened with Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. Matthew 14, verse 26, we read, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, this is all 12 of them in the boat together. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, they said, hey, Lord, how's it going? No, they didn't know exactly that it was God. They didn't know exactly that it was the Lord. They didn't know exactly that it was Jesus. What did they say? Ah, it's a ghost. They didn't recognize him. It was dark. To their credit, it was just before dawn. Sometimes that's the darkest part of the night. They weren't expecting anybody to be walking out there on the water in the middle of the night. Something was mysterious about what was happening. And that's how it is sometimes with God in our life. The Lord moves in mysterious ways and often completely different than what we might expect or even hope for. And so the question then becomes, when it's hard to clearly see the Lord, when you're not sure where God is, what do you do? Well, part of the answer to that question is you remember what happened to Peter. There's a few things that we can see as far as a pattern goes in what happened with Peter. First of all, there's this affirmation that God was with them. Jesus said, I like this part, Matthew 14. The disciples cried out, it's a ghost. They were terrified. They were in fear. The very next verse, but, in contrast to their fear, but immediately, without a second's delay, without any kind of, I think I'll just kind of pull a prank on them or something. No, without any of that, Jesus said, it's me, guys. It's me. I'm here. Don't be afraid. And how many times have we seen that throughout Scripture? God shows up, something happens, it's scaring his people to death, but it's all about God being with us. Times in our life where we shake in our boots and our knees are knocking and our nerves are trembling, God's still there. He shows up. God is with us. Don't be afraid. I've never had this happen. I've ridden on airplane flights a lot in my lifetime. Yet, it's even though the stewardess, before we take off, always prepares us for what to do in case of an emergency, and thank goodness it's never happened to me. But she said, in the case that the oxygen masks would automatically release from above you, take the mask, put it on, put it over your mouth, and what's next? Breathe normally. Yeah, your plane's doing all kinds of weird gyrations, and you're in an emergency. The oxygen masks come on, come fall down all over the cabin, and you're supposed to breathe normally. right. But that's what Jesus is trying to say to the disciples right here. The affirmation that he gives us is no matter what the turbulence is in the air or on the water or in your life, God is with you. He's the oxygen that we need in every situation to help us not to fear, but to breathe normally. It happened in the Old Testament, thunder, lightning, black smoke out of Mount Sinai. The whole Israelite nation was at the foot of the mountain. Moses was up on the side of the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And everybody was just incredibly worried and lots of turbulence going on. But that smoke, that lightning, that thunder, that was God saying, I am with you. Shepherds out watching their flock at night, just a quiet, beautiful, starry, starry night, just everything just wonderful. And all of a sudden, some UFOs show up, some unidentified flying objects. After a while, they identified them because they were angels who said, we've been sent here from God with a message. Good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. God is with you. Don't be afraid. The angels actually said that to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. God is with you. A few days after Jesus was crucified, women who were there in Jerusalem and saw the nails being pounded into his hands and feet, saw his dead, lifeless body taken down from the cross, saw where he was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. 3 days later, Jesus shows up. They must have thought they saw a ghost. What's the first thing Jesus says to him in the garden on Easter morning? Don't be afraid. I'm with you. It's me. I'm here. Peter was terrified because of the turbulence he was experiencing. And the first thing Jesus does is reach out and grab him because he's right there with him. The affirmation that God is with us is important to remember when faith seems hard. Second thing to realize is it's normal to hesitate. So there's the affirmation God is with us, but our soul goes into hesitation mode. Well, I'm not sure I can take this step. I'm not so sure. That's a ghost out there on the water. Lord, if it's really you, see if it's really you, see that hesitation. I can't believe what my eyes are seeing. If it's really you, Lord, just tell me to come out on the water. And who said that? Who else? Peter. I wish that we could have a television series that was called Leave It to Peter. You know, just these stories of Peter's life that would just tie into our human experience. Because Peter, Lord, is it really you? There's a little bit of hesitation there, but I'm willing to try. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out. There's a lot of ifs in life. In fact, if you think about it, the word if is right in the middle of the word life. There's a lot of ifs in life. A lot of uncertainties, a lot of doubts. And even though we are people who believe and accept the truth about God, we have some ifs. We have some maybes. We have some doubts. No wonder it's called faith. It's about trusting God in the middle of those life moments that are full of if. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion praying to the Father. Remember what he prayed to the Father? The first word out of his mouth was, if. If it's possible. Father, let this cup of suffering pass from me, but not my will. Thy will be done. But he started off with this hesitation. That's normal in faith. See the pattern. There's an affirmation God is with us. There's the hesitation if. Then there's this invitation, because what comes next out of Peter's if was Jesus's come on. And it's not a command. He didn't demand that Peter get out of the boat and walk. It's not even, okay, if you do, you'll be able to walk on water. It's not an invitation to a miracle. It's not an open door just to see some amazing, incredible thing happen. It's just an invitation, period. It's an invitation to trust God. There's the affirmation, there's the hesitation, and then there comes the invitation to enter into that relationship with God where you put your trust in Him, where you put your life in His hands. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, burdened down, and I will give you rest." That's an invitation. Are you familiar with Revelation 3:20? It's a very famous picture that goes along with this verse. The picture is of Jesus standing at this beautiful door knocking. We have a picture of it down in the fellowship hall. Revelation 3:20. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and have dinner with him. We'll eat together." It's not all there is to the verse. The verse doesn't start off that way. The verse starts off with, you know what it starts off with? "Here I am." That's what it starts off with. Look it up. Revelation 3:20. It's most famous for Jesus standing at the door knocking, but it starts off with Jesus saying, "I am right here." And the invitation is just there. It's a standing invitation for anyone, anywhere, anytime, to open the door and build a relationship with me. Affirmation, hesitation, invitation, and then, of course, we have to do something about the invitation. And so, in order for us to overcome this hard faith obstacle, we have to take action. We have to do something in response to God's invitation. And so that's what Peter does. Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. In order for us to walk on water, we have to get out of the boat. Right? That's what Peter did. Wasn't up to Peter to walk on the water. That was up to God. It was up to Peter to respond to the invitation to come, to get out of the boat. And that's part of the pattern of allowing this faith that is hard to be something that's real and effective, transforming in our life. It's a process. Affirmation, hesitation, invitation, action. It's a process. It's not microwavable. You have to preset the oven, and you have to put things in the bowl and mix them up, and you have to follow the recipe, and you know, it's a process. It doesn't happen just like that. Faith without works is dead. You heard that from James chapter 2, verse 26. When we hear the word of the Lord, when we hear that invitation, we need to step into action. And then finally, it becomes an adventure. It becomes something where there's some risk involved and possibly some danger, and that might stir up some fear within us, as we saw in this picture of the disciples in the boat and Jesus walking on the water. All of that, risk, danger, fear, that's all part of the adventure of faith. Now, adventure doesn't go with the other words that I've lined out. So I thought up another word. So there's the affirmation of God is with us. There's the hesitation about the ifs and the doubts that we have in our life. That's normal. There's the invitation from God, His word. Then we step out in action, but then there's trepidation. So if you're taking notes, those all go together. there's that adventure that's mixed with fear and risk and danger. But when Peter, verse 30, saw the wind, he was afraid. I mean, he was walking on top of the water. It doesn't get any better than that. And yet he was afraid because of the turbulence, because he wasn't sure of himself, because he probably took his eyes off Jesus, started looking at stuff around him. So just because we get out of the boat doesn't mean that everything's going to be puppies and candy bars. Worry and fear and doubt that keep us from implementing our faith. And we face some intimidating obstacles when it comes to faith, and that's why it's hard. Imagine if we trusted Jesus completely, absolutely, unconditionally, without fear. Imagine. Imagine how many mountains would be moved if that was the case. Imagine how many others would be walking on the water if that was the case. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Almighty Father, we thank you this morning for our time here together. It's a blessing to be together. It's a blessing to sing your praises. It's a blessing to pay attention to your word. It's a blessing to allow that word, that truth, to make a difference in our lives. We thank you for the blessing of being the church. We pray today that you'll help us on this adventure called faith to do a better job, a more effective job, a more faithful job of walking by faith, trusting you. As we take this adventure, as we journey through these summer weeks and look a little closer at the obstacles to our faith, we pray that you strengthen us. Pray that you help us grow stronger in that faith muscle. Because when we do, your promise is that we will move mountains. As we prepare this morning to come to the table set with symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, we pray as we partake of the elements of the bread and the juice, that will be our first step of growing stronger. It'll be our first step in hearing your invitation to come, to get out of the boat, to walk on the water. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.